Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
We didn't play hard at the start of the game. That's what got us beat. Whatever the call is. Whatever Kimba said to get kicked out, he said. Whatever I said to get a tech, I said. But, you know, I'm sure the Celtics have already addressed this as an organization. But if not, then, you know, I apologize to the Spurs for what happened out of the stands. And that can be enthroned. I told Pop after the game, I'm really sorry that they had to experience that. I hope that person is not allowed in an NBA arena again.
98.5 The Sports, Sober Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Danny Ainge.
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Happy New Year. How are the holidays in the new year for you?
Very good, thanks.
How did you enjoy? I wanted to ask you just a report of how did you like your one-on-one with Fred when gone?
Fred was great.
Yeah, you got
he's
that.
He's a basketball genius.
Yeah, you got that right.
It is true.
That's right. I coached a 9-year-old girls team yesterday. Don't worry about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. We had fun.
We did. We had a wonderful time. Now,
excellent.
Danny, what did you used to get things thrown at you when you were playing? The answer is yes.
Yeah, a few times there were some things thrown, but I hope that it doesn't happen in our league. You know, as I travel over to Europe, there are some arenas where the players are protected by dugouts or by cages that surround the entire team and the coaching staff from the fans, and I hope we don't, we have to get to that kind of, because it's just obstructed view from people that are sitting close to the benches. It's not a good look. It's not a good feeling to think that you have to be protected from the fans, the players on the court. So anyway, I hope we don't ever have to get to that.
What happens to that guy from last night who threw the beer from the 300 section?
I think he just gets arrested. I'm not sure what sort of, if he's a one-time a year guy or if he's a season ticket holder or whatever. I'm not sure what the next steps are, but I was told that he was arrested.
So what is the worst thing that you were hit by? Fred's right. I mean, it was definitely the crowds were rowdier than when you played.
And you were a target at times.
And everyone hated you when, outside of Boston. Like, you were enemy number one. What was the worst thing you were hit with?
I was never hit with anything. There were things thrown on the court. I don't know. I can't remember ever being something targeted thrown at me. I remember ML Carr was hit with the spray of the beer into his eyes in L.A. Just as he was leaving the court. But I don't remember anybody being hit with an object, and I don't remember being the target of an object at me. A lot of verbal abuse, but not so much the physical.
Okay, so while we're on the subject, and then we can move on, is that Isaiah Thomas went into the crowd and he just confronted a guy. He didn't get physical with him. And I guess he was, being calm. But where does it, in terms of verbal abuse, is there a line? And do players have a right to express themselves back to the fans if that line is crossed?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. What the league has established because of the incident in Detroit, where the players went into the stands, the league has been very strict in their policy. Like, you just don't, under any circumstances, go into the stands. You don't have the interaction with the fans of any, and your presence is enough of an intimidation, and you know, they could start something. Isaiah could have gone in there with all pure intentions, but at the same time, you know, who knows what reaction is going to happen from there. And so the league has been very strict about no players in the stands. Like, get the security guards. There are numerous security guards by your bench. Get them to take care of the fans. And, I mean, that's just the best approach.
All right, so what did you make of Kemba's ejection last night?
I thought it was quick. You know, I thought that the official got, reacted emotionally and too quickly. I think, Kemba got up, was very frustrated without the call, and, he cursed at the official, but it seemed almost as if he was cursing, and the cursing was not finished yet when he got the first tee, and that he should have just, like, turned and walked away. And then if Kemba comes after him continually, then I understand it. But it just seems so quick, the second technical and the ejection, that, I don't know, that was my take.
Yeah, young referee. All right, much to everyone's surprise, Taco Fall goes in the first half of yesterday's game. What kind of message was Brad Stevens sending when he did that?
I don't think Brad's sending a message. I think that, you know, Brad, we appreciate the work that Taco does. And Taco has played well in Portland. And he's played well at, you know, in garbage time of NBA games so far. And I think Brad thought maybe he could give us a lift. And Taco brings a different element to the game. He's a rim protector, and he can get some offensive rebound baskets. And, nothing was working for us offensively. It was, or defensively for that matter. I thought San Antonio, after us blistering them in San Antonio, came out, and I guess our guys thought that they could just show up on the court and they're going to win the game. But San Antonio came out, I thought, with amazing energy and swagger on offense, and great defensive intensity. They were putting a lot of ball pressure on our guards and our bigs. And anyway, they came out and hit through the first punch, and we didn't respond until the beginning of the second half. And that's a good lesson for our team to learn.
Danny, just to get back to the ejection for 1 second, and I don't want you to be too specific because I don't want you to get fined, but if you have a problem with any referee during a basketball, during a game, is there any kind of recourse? Can you file a protest with the league? Can you just say, hey, you know, we'd rather not have this guy ref our games anymore, anything like that?
There is a process that you can protest all you want. I'm not sure what the league will listen to you, and if there's reason. I think that those things can happen, but I don't know. I mean, we may protest the second technical foul on Kemba, and I don't think it was warranted. But I mean, there's nothing that's going to happen other than Kemba may get his money back from getting a second technical. The game's over, and there's no recourse. And I certainly don't want a young official that may have made a mistake or may not. I'd like to hear his side of the story too, which I haven't. But the bottom line is it happened and it's over, and we'll move on, and Those things don't really matter.
Yeah, John ruined the flow of the interview by going back for that dumb question. All right, Rich.
You're the expert.
So, at interviewing people?
No, in basketball.
Nothing to do with basketball. It has to do with going back to ask some stupid-ass questions.
He's an expert in basketball, a master at interviews. Sometimes
that's right.
You got to let it flow.
You're right, my mistake.
You got to ride the wave there, Johnny Wallgamer.
My mistake. What we're talking about, it's something entirely
I'm
else.
I'm very sorry, Fred.
To go back to something that happened that I know you can't comment on. You even prefaced it with saying, I know you can't comment on it.
Very, very sorry, Fred. You're absolutely right.
John lost hearing in his right ear. That's made him stupid.
That's right. Let's toss that in.
Oh, man. So I'll try not to go backwards with this one, Danny. Now, one thing that is interesting, and you talked about these slow starts. Grandy had a stat yesterday that's just astounding to me, and that is that in the second half, the Celtics have the first-ranked offense in the NBA. In the first half, the 23rd-ranked offense. And this is four games in a row where in the first quarter, they were being beaten by double digits, and especially these last two against teams that really the Celtics should be taking care of business against. What do you do? We all know this is a good team, and we all know that there's nothing really drastic that needs to be done. But, I mean, it's starting to become a trend that they have to catch up. I mean, so much so that it affects the numbers the way that I just told you. If you're Brad, do you just kind of ride it out and just say, you know what, it's the midseason doldrums, or do you maybe tweak the starting lineup to do something?
Well, I mean, I think that Brad is aware of that. I mean, because it's not just right now after these last four games. It's been a pattern throughout the course of the year. There was, you know, maybe a month ago, it was the same thing. We were one or two in the fourth quarter of offense and in the NBA, and, 23rd or 25th, whatever it was in the first quarter. So it's been something that's happened a lot this year. I mean, last night, as good as the Spurs played and as poorly as we played, I mean, we did have a lot of wide open shots. Mm-hmm. That we just missed. And so it's not that we're not getting the shots we want. It's not so much our play calls, but listen, starting lineups and play calls and, you know, you have to look at everything. And I know Brad has, and I'm very confident in him trying to figure out what's going on. But ultimately, the players just have to play harder. And it's that simple. It's not any harder than that. Like, you've got to show up to win. You can't just show up to play. There's a big difference between showing up to win a game as showing up to play a game. And that's what it felt like last night.
Okay, so Danny, they came out with some of the leaders in the All-Star voting, and Celtics very well represented. You got guys like, you know, Jaylen Brown getting votes, obviously Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, but also on that list is Taco Fall. And Brad Stevens has come out and said that he isn't too happy with the fact that Taco Fall is getting all of those votes. Where do you stand on Taco and people putting their votes towards him to be in the All-Star game?
Well, listen, I mean, when you just open it up to fans to vote, you're going to get all sorts of crazy stuff. I mean, remember, I think Yao Ming led the voting one year, and he was a really good player, and he's certainly better than what Taco has done in his NBA career. But unfortunately, it is a popularity contest, and so I'm not opposed to what they're doing. I think the fan involvement is great, but you know, the All-Star game ideally would be formed on who plays like an All-Star, not who the fans want to be on the All-Star team. Like, they shouldn't be voting for, a 42-year-old veteran player that, like Vince Carter, just because he's popular. They should be voting for the players that are deserving of the honor, and that would be ideal.
I see your side of it, but I guess I found it shocking that Brad Stevens actually said that.
Well, because it's like a joke at that point.
I know it's
almost insulting to Taco Fall.
Well, I mean, but the fans love the guy, and really, it's just a fan game anyway. It doesn't mean anything. But do you think that? I don't know. I just is there any weirdness, but with being a player on the team and you're getting all these, and I mean, if you're Taco Fall and you hear your coach saying that, what do you think Taco Fall feels about all of this?
you know, I don't know what Taco feels about it, but, you know, he's gotten a lot of attention since he's been with the Celtics and from Summer League on. I mean, every game fans are chanting from the opening tip, you know, Taco Fall, Taco Fall. So it's a crazy thing. I mean, he's a very popular guy. People want to see him play. He's a very unique player. He's an amazing individual. And so everybody's rooting hard for him, and I understand why he has so many fans. I mean, the guy's out, like, taking swimming lessons, learning how to swim with children. It's a fascinating story. He's lived a fascinating life, and I get the infatuation with him. But, again, I think it's a bigger issue. I think that every year or most years there's players that are well beyond their prime that are, you know, voted into All-Star games, and I think that, you know, it's not an ideal situation, but, you know, fans get what they want. And if they've decided to let the fans have the involvement, and it's a fans game, and they can vote whoever they want.
I just think you and Brad Stevens hate fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Stevens juggles. Why does Taco Fall have to learn how to swim? Because in what situation would he not be able to get on his tippy toes and be able to have his head out of the water?
The deep end, yeah.
You know, like nobody's making Taco Fall do it. He wanted to learn how to swim. He doesn't know how to swim, and he wants to learn. And I just love the humility
going
out there in the public and the kids. And can you imagine how much fun those kids are having by seeing Taco learn how to swim in the swimming pool?
It's like when I take karate with the kids, and they're all afraid to spar with me, but you can't take it easy on them. That's the thing. I said, if Johnny goes home with a bloody nose, you know, don't enter the octagon with me. All right. Well, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. I'm sorry this interview wasn't as good as the one from last week, but then again, John's here. All right. Danny Ainge, thank you so much and have a great week.
All right, guys, you too. All right. See you next week.
All right, I appreciate it.
Let's stop with the sanctity of the All-Star game. No one likes the All-Star game. They're trying to do anything to get ratings. I just think it's
like making fun of him. It's like dinner for schmucks.
No, it's I want to see him in there. It's like I want to see Taco Fall in there because you know what? It's a reason for me to watch.
I didn't like when John Scott did it. I think it's equal parts.
But John Scott sucked. Taco Fall doesn't suck.
Well, he's a 12th man.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't suck. He's still like a decent player.
I mean, John Scott, was a fourth line player.
Yeah, he's good. They're both good at one thing. John Scott was good at fighting and Pence kind of put him in there as a joke.
Remember,
Taco Fall's the last guy on the bench who can dunk a basketball without leaving his feet.
I believe he has one of the best shooting percentages per 48 minutes, I think.
I can't argue that.
You take a lot of half-court shots. No, you're in there for 2 minutes and you score 4 points. You're going to have a super
That's
high.
Right, when you can just dump the ball in the hoop. But I will say this, is that with the John Scott thing, I thought he was an ass. It was very lame that he went to the All-Star game, and I thought it was even lamer that he got the MVP and danced around like it was like something he actually earned.
Vote for Taco Fall because it's a reason to watch the All-Star game now.
Because the All-Star game sucks.
I want to see Taco Fall in there.
It all sucks. Even the three-point contest sucks.
I love the three-point contest.
That's the one event I will watch is the three-point contest.
It doesn't suck, but if there's an office marathon on, I'm watching The Office.
I can't wait to see old-ass Dwight Howard in the dunk contest, too. Have you heard that rumor?
Yes.
And he's so annoying anyway. I hate the Renaissance.
He put a sticker on the backboard and went dunk.
And he called himself Superman when Shaq was already named Superman and playing in the league at the same time.
Didn't he jump over a car and didn't dunk the ball? He kind of threw it in there and people went, oh, that's a 50. That
I don't know.
Fantastic.
They all jump over cars now and it's like big deal.
Yeah. And don't you want to see...
I could do that.
And don't you want to see actual defense in an All-Star game? Don't you want to see Taco Fall rejecting people in a game where nobody plays defense?
You know what would be cool?
He's got to get up and down the floor, Rich. That's the problem.
You know what would actually be cool, and I'm not lying, I'm not lying at all, is if you had a car driving at you slowly and you jumped on the hood onto the roof of it and dunked.
And the thing is, if you don't, you get kneecapped and you're out for like 4 months.
Well, you can't. Great. You can't jump onto the hood of the car.
You'll be great if you don't time it right.
If someone came out riding a tiger, a bloodthirsty tiger, and then after he jumped off the tiger went rampant and shooed up all the people who were voting.
That's
in the front
thing.
Row.
Have the tiger chase you across the floor.
You don't think they could roll a car out from the baseline to like the free throw line, and when the front bumper got to the free throw line, you jump on the front the hood of the car, then off the top of the car, and then dunk.
Oh, no, you
could
certainly do that. I was just saying raise the difficulty. Have the car come at you at like 35 and see if you could do it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's just silly. That's just silly. See, that I would watch.
Yeah. Up the degree of difficulty. You earn your 50, damn it.
Or you be like one of the mascots and you jump through a ring of fire.
Right.
I think you bring Muggsy Bogues back and put him on the shoulder of Taco Fall and call it the Master Blaster Dunk.
Yeah.
Just go in there. And he just points the way. Or you put Muggsy Bogues in the top and they do like in the old Snow White movie. They put the big like trench coat jacket on it and you just see Muggsy Bogues' head.
You know what? Try and dunk a basketball with people throwing beer at you from the 300 section.
Now we're talking. Now that's a dunk contest you can see.
Right there.
Yeah, that'd be easy though. All right. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We present, along with the Boston Bruins, Pucks and Paddles, Friday, January 17th at the Royale, the annual ping pong tournament that benefits Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Bid to play with your favorite Bruins player or Rich or I. To bid, go to 985thesportshub.com. You can still get people on the cheap.
What's the, what are we looking at now?
I haven't looked.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm sky high. Pucks and Paddles is presented by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda, ACP Facility Services, and Clear Path for Veterans of New England. We've told you it's an excellent event, and you should get involved. You know who made a very good decision to come out? Is that Fromm kid from Georgia. What an idiot.
You don't think he's going to get drafted well? You don't think he's going to be successful in the NFL?
I don't think he's going to be successful in the NFL, and I don't think he's going to go in the top three rounds.
It's a weaker quarterback class than we originally believed.
See, I heard he's a first rounder.
Yeah, you did until people started to go, he has zero athletic ability. And
you put him up against kids like Burrow and Tagovailoa and Herbert, although I don't think Herbert's necessarily that good.
I don't know either, but he's going to go well before they're going to take Fromm. There's the kid.
Yes.
There's a kid from Utah State. There's
from Washington.
And Eason from Washington. Remember, he was supposed to be a big deal.
He's supposed to be bottom of the first round type of deal. I've seen two or three mock drafts with the Patriots taking him.
Fromm could go in the late second round. But I mean, come back, take the off season, get stronger, try to develop some arm strength, and then come back. Hey, Mike Lockhart, come over here to the mic. You know all about this stuff. When do you think Fromm gets taken?
Well, I mean, I don't know if the NFL has figured it out yet, but it seems like they've stopped like reaching for quarterbacks the last couple of years, but. I mean, you look at the years like Jake Locker and Christian Ponder and all these guys. God. They're just taking a quarterback to have a quarterback, and
right.
It doesn't make any sense. It wouldn't shock me if somebody ended up grabbing him in the first round just because of that. But
is he the sixth quarterback on your board?
Yeah, most likely. I think you're going to learn a lot in the next month, like with all the combine stuff, and all, that seems to change things with pro days and all that. But yeah, he's one of those guys that started out really hot as a freshman and then never got better. And that always troubles me when guys are good their freshman year and then they just don't get any better.
Yeah, and his arm strength is I mean people are crapping on his arm strength.
Yeah.
Like it's worse than Pennington maybe.
Oh man. So, that's really saying something. Yeah.
I just, you see it, and Mike's right, year after year, these guys panic. When it comes to a quarterback,
if you're taking,
teams panic.
In this draft, if you're taking six quarterbacks in the first round, you're out of your mind.
At most, there should be four. From every mock draft I've seen, from every NFL, watching the NFL Network, anytime quarterbacks are discussed, they discuss the big three. And then maybe Eason sneaks into the first round, but not Fromm.
I mean, sounds like someone that's going to be available at 23.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, God.
That's right.
I mean, you want to talk about right there in the pocket?
They got to take a quarterback regardless, the Patriots. No matter what Brady does, they have to take a quarterback.
Yeah, but you know they're going to wind up taking an offensive lineman at 23.
Maybe at 23.
Or they're going to trade down, pick up the second-round pick they don't have right now, and then take an offensive lineman at 30 or whatever they trade down to.
I understand that, but at some point in the draft, they're going to have to take a quarterback.
Sure.
and they're going to have to continue to do so until they figure that they hit. And my example for that is always Seattle, as they'd given all that money to what's-his-face.
Wilson.
Flynn.
Sony played 1 year with him, right?
Flynn. They gave him. Yeah. They gave
Matt Flynn.
And then they drafted Russell Wilson in the fourth round, right. I believe.
They paid Matt Flynn all that money basically because he lit the Patriots up on that, what is it, Monday night or Sunday night? Whatever
well,
that
he
was.
He played very well when he was.
For Green Bay.
For Green Bay. He played very well when he was in for Rodgers. But they went and they liked Russell Wilson and they took him, I believe, in the fourth round and he beat Flynn out.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use the logic of. Because people go to me like, why would you take a quarterback? Da, da, da. Well, until you know you have a franchise guy that's young, like, you know, like for instance, the Jets aren't going to take a quarterback. I mean, they could take one very late.
No, but it makes sense because that's the most important thing in the National Football League. So you keep taking quarterbacks
until
you find a guy you're sure on. Maybe it's Stidham. Maybe they're sold on him. And that, that will go a long way towards...
But you still have to take a quarterback in a late round because you have to push there.
Sure.
Because you can't have a guy that's unproven and just let him and not have anyone push him.
The year they took RG3, the year the Redskins took RG3, they took Kirk Cousins later.
Yep.
And it worked out really well, actually.
Remember when the Washington took Shuler, like with the third pick?
Heath Shuler.
And then they took the guy that gave himself a concussion. Gus Frerotte in like the seventh round, and Frerotte beat him out.
Yep.
So I mean, these are the things that you have to do.
No, you're right.
You got to continue to take them until you hit it. But I think that Fromm kid made a huge mistake. I don't know. And then you're on Georgia, which is always a national championship contender. I don't get it. I don't get why you come out. I mean, all that's going to happen is you're going to improve your draft stock. I mean, it's not going to hurt you in his case. In other cases, people have hurt their draft stock, obviously, by coming back. But, I mean, if I'm him, I'm staying. But there you go. That's going to be the question. But the Patriots are going to have to take a quarterback at some time in this draft. They're probably going to have to take a quarterback in the draft after that, and they're going to have to continue to see what sticks. Don't have to use one of your top five picks on one. You can just, you know, go late, take a flyer on a guy.
Yeah, Danny Etling in the seventh round.
You know who you could take Lewicki from Michigan State, who sucked.
I thought he owned the malt shop.
He did.
Kowicki?
Yeah, and then whenever there was a problem with the two dads, you could go down there and talk it out.
You're the only one I knew that would immediately get that reference.
Yeah. One dad was a real uptight, Paul Reiser, and the other one was like a carefree artist.
Mm-hmm. Was that Matthew Modine? Was he the other dad?
No, he's a beard hunk. Beard hunk.
Oh, sorry, that's my mistake.
Yeah, Matthew Modine was like a movie star when that show was on.
It was
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Matthew Modine at that time what was the wrestling movie that everyone liked? Vision Quest.
Vision Quest.
Oh, all right. I got my timing wrong. Okay.
I heard he said no to, it was Top Gun, I believe.
Yeah. He said no to Top Gun to do
Cutthroat Island, maybe?
Yeah, Cutthroat Island.
It was something crazy. Like, he said no, that might not be the right movie.
I think it was Cutthroat Island.
No, I mean, I know he took Cutthroat Island, but I don't know if it was Top Gun that he said no to. I know that Tom Selleck said no to Indiana Jones. Which is hysterical.
Man. I saw a clip. There was a Vulture magazine that did 207 most funny things that happened in the 2010s. And there's a Conan O'Brien where Harrison Ford is so stoned.
Oh, it's like Harrison Ford's Secrets. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Ford's Secrets.
No, it's not a bit.
Oh, like, it's just him on the show.
It's just him on the show. And he's like. And he's like, you know, I just saw you recently. You know, we were at this kids thing. You know, our kids were there. And he goes, it was for school. And he just kind of looks at him and he's like, okay.
All right, where do I go with this?
And then he goes, I didn't know you were there. And he goes, I talked to you for like 5 minutes. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. What will we discuss?
We have one of the best post-game trash-talking sessions that happened last night. On top of that, we now know who is going to play the Penguin in the new Batman film.
They can never outdo Danny DeVito. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what's going on?
Real quick, I found this kind of interesting. I'm just now seeing this. So out of the remaining playoff quarterbacks, all the ones that are left, all eight of them, which one was drafted the highest?
Okay, so Rodgers was late in the first round. Jackson was the last pick in the first round. Don't tell me. Well, God, let me see if I can do this. All right. And then Kirk Cousins was a later round. Garoppolo was a second rounder. Who else? Mahomes was a first rounder. And Tannehill was the highest.
Yep.
And then Mahomes.
Ryan Tannehill, the highest drafted player, or the high drafted quarterback quarterback that's remaining in the playoffs, he was eighth.
And then Mahomes got picked 10th, though, right?
Yeah. He was close. Tenth.
Yes, and then Jackson was the 32nd pick.
You're forgetting Watson. He was 12th.
Right.
So it goes in this order. Tannehill picked 8th, Mahomes 10th, Watson 12th, Aaron Rodgers 24th, Lamar Jackson, just as you said, last pick of the first round, at number 32, Garoppolo 62nd, Russell Wilson at 75, and Kirk Cousins at pick 102. I just think I forgot that Tannehill was that high. I just think that you have that stink in your head for so long.
That was Miami, baby. We're rolling the dice.
It's the old Miami stink that they've got on them, but there you go. Speaking of Miami, there was a basketball game last night which got, you want to talk about people getting pissed off, Jimmy Butler yesterday. And by the way, Miami, a great team. Like a legit, I never would have expected this team to be anywhere near as good as they
Eric
are.
Eric Spoelstra is an excellent head coach.
He is.
I'd say the same thing.
There's no question. And even when he had LeBron there in the later years, you could tell that some of the stuff he was doing, you couldn't just continue to say that it was LeBron. He is a really good coach. One of the top.
Yeah, the way he managed that whole situation, and especially when the times were that he was a crappy coach. And
yep.
He was just.
And after they all left, the team was still 500.
Yep.
It was pretty amazing.
So Jimmy Butler now on that team. And last night, there was a moment where he got into a scrap with T.J. Warren, who plays for the Indiana Pacers. Here it all went down yesterday.
Warren right back on Butler. Oh, Jimmy. Put a shoulder into the chest of Warren. And then Warren just got himself tossed out of the game for taunting. Well, neither player showing much in the way of poise right there.
What's going to happen?
I don't know if you saw that on TV or not, but T.J. Warren, that is a no-no, my friend.
And that's why Warren's going to be tossed right now. This is his second technical foul. This is why it's so important that they call those first technical fouls. They have no toleration at all. And T.J. Warren, who's the leading scorer for the Indiana Pacers.
I think they were afraid to say on the broadcast that T.J. Warren flipped Jimmy Butler the bird. So what happened was Jimmy Butler
gave
goes
him
in
a little kiss too.
Yeah, it was, so Butler like ends up doing one of those things where you try to knock your defender over and get away with it, and of course they called a foul on Jimmy Butler, an offensive foul. And as Butler's walking away, T.J. Warren does that like clapping behind his head, like following him, and they gave him another technical kick out T.J. Warren, and that's when Jimmy Butler turns around, starts blowing him kisses, and T.J. Warren does double freedom rockets. And so after the game, Jimmy Butler, who I'm glad isn't a Celtic. However, this dude is awesome when he's pissed off. Here he is talking about T.J. Warren.
Especially when he's pissed off at his own team.
That's even better. Here he is talking about T.J. Warren.
To me, I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, he got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful, and it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So you know, he's talking about we gonna fight.
Yeah, I'm not
this,
scared
this,
of
this,
you.
This, it is what it is to me.
The kiss.
He's soft. He's not even in my league. Like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like no. Put somebody else on me because I'm a tad every time we play. He's trash.
I just like if how these basketball players are like, yeah, I'll see him again. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Like, what are you going to do? You're going to blow a kiss at him again?
You're going to say some mean stuff.
Yeah.
You're
going to
put an elbow in his chest?
Ouch!
That might leave a mark.
Exactly. Like, it's the fakest tough talk in the world. Now, listen, I wouldn't want to be on the court with any of these guys and have them throw an elbow at me. But if I'm a big-ass professional athlete...
You got nothing to be scared of.
Yeah, what are you going to go shoot me?
Okay, I need you to tell me, John, because I don't know anything about this story except that I looked up and I was like, whoa, where did that happen? Because I saw it, like, at SportsCenter. What baseball league was it where yesterday...
It was in Venezuela, right?
Okay, yeah. So all I saw was the end of it, and I saw that the batter ends up getting pissed at the catcher and takes his bat and hits twice. The catcher.
An ex-major league player, yes. I believe. An ex-major league outfielder.
Okay. A, what pissed him off? B, he hit him twice with a bat?
He got hit in the ass with the pitch.
Okay.
And then they're not speaking English. I don't know what they said. But obviously the catcher said something to him that pissed him off. And then, he took – and at first he kind of hit him with the bat, but then he really hit him with the bat.
It's like the catcher's still down in his – like, you know, still in his crouch, and he hits him in the back with the bat.
He kind of half-asses the first one, and then the catcher gets up, and then the dude really hits him with the bat.
I mean –
which he's lucky he didn't break the guy's arm.
That was one of the most shocking moments at the plate this side of Izzy Alcantara. Like, when he, like, does, like, drop kick
that
him.
That was fantastic. Well, what happened was that, – that's a little different because the motivation was towards the pitcher. This happened in AAA when Israel Alcantara did this.
Alcantara,
he got hit.
That's right.
He got hit by a pitch. Now, instead of just straight rushing the mound and risk getting tackled by the catcher, he kicked the catcher in the face
dropped
him, and then ran to the mound with a bat in his hand.
You remember Phillips from Cincinnati grabbed the netting behind the backstop. He grabbed the netting.
It started cleaning guys.
That's
started
right.
cleaning guys. Yeah, and I can't remember what Cardinal, but he ruined a guy's career.
Yeah,
he took a guy's knee out.
That will F you up. But I just saw that dude go after a guy, the catcher with a bat. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Alex Romero is the guy's name. He hasn't been in the league in like 11 years.
I take it if you're playing in the Venezuelan league, you've...
Yeah, he's 36, and that's where he's from. So, yes.
Your options are very close.
And finally, it sounds like the movie studios do not want to screw up the new Batman movie. They knew that they dropped the ball with the whole Ben Affleck situation. So they said, let's do it the way of the Joker, and let's get real actors in here to try to take over. As a matter of fact, they have cast Robert Pattinson, who was in the movie that the guys who directed Uncut Gems did first called Good Time. He was also one of the Twilight, hunk. But trust me, the dude's a great actor. And they have cast as the Penguin in the movie Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell, another decent actor they will be using for that role.
I saw Batman, like the original one. I watched it with my kids.
Which original?
Oh, not the Dark Knight. I watched...
Are you talking about the one from like the 60s?
No, Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, whatever. The first of the movies. Yeah. And that movie sucks.
See, back in the day, I liked it, but now it seems like shot on a stage.
It's all shot on a stage, which I thought that Tim Burton might be doing on purpose. But, like, it sucks. Like, Jack Nicholson sucks.
See, and you think of Jack Nicholson with this reverence as being the Joker. But then, since then, I mean, you've had Heath Ledger, who just killed it. But, I mean, it sucks. And the soundtrack, what's that right there? The soundtrack actually rules, though. What do you think about the soundtrack there, Slater, while you're doing it?
How do we feel about Tasty?
Sure.
The Sweet Nectar.
Well, I prefer the Danny Elfman soundtrack.
Well, the Danny Elfman soundtrack or the...
Stop the press.
Prince soundtrack. There is a part of that movie, Fred, and you just saw it.
Who is that?
That is essentially a music video where they go to some art museum.
Yes, that's Party Man. And that song is Party Man.
And he starts spray painting.
Lawrence?
There was no purpose other than to play the Prince song.
Which was in a movie, which is unacceptable. By the way, what happened? But the person at the Paisley Park Studios didn't know.
Yes, that's right.
Right after this movie, happened?
That's right. Well, you asked the question to Marge Gunderson from Fargo, who was giving us the tour.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, was this where that album was recorded where Prince was having sex with Kim Basinger?
The scandalous sex suite.
Yeah.
Right. And she goes, I don't really appreciate you asking questions about things like that.
Yeah, and it's an album. It exists.
Well, the best was like when we go in there and there's these different like albums on the wall, and one was like Fine Young Cannibals randomly.
Right.
And I said, hey, did Prince have something to do with the Fine Young Cannibals he produced? He goes, I'm sure he had something to do with it. And I'm like, well, thanks for the info there. And remember when we walk in and she goes, before we get started,
I want you to look up, and up above our heads, there's a box that has some of the remains of Prince, and I would like for us to have a moment of silence.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
And then we all stand there, and it's like me, Fred Wallach, and these two like hillbillies randomly. And we sit there for like 30 to 45 uncomfortable seconds. She goes, weird. I'm sorry if that was a little emotional for some people, but all right, on to the guitars.
Okay, I'm not, I like Prince a lot, but I'm certainly not like a completist. I don't like have all his records. If I know more about Prince than you do, and you're leading, you're the tour guide of his studio, you suck. like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, right here is a guitar that's shaped like a cymbal. It's pretty sweet.
She actually said that.
Yeah, it's
like, pretty. Yeah, she would say stuff like, and there's a drum kit.
Yep. That's a pretty sweet drum set you got there.
Yep.
Now, hey, here's a ping pong table. I bet Prince liked to play some ping pong. It's pretty sweet. I mean, Fred and I were just looking at each other like laughing. Like, she don't know anything about anything.
She doesn't know anything.
She did not like your question about Kim Basinger, though. Not at all.
The Scandalous Sex Suite is an album with her on the cover. It wasn't released by his label, but it was released. But my friend Jay had it. And it's just like Rocket Queen. You know the story of Rocket Queen, right, Axl Rose is having sex in the background.
Yes.
The whole album is taped over him having sex in some studio with Kim Basinger. Mm-hmm. And the woman was offended that I asked the question because I was actually interested if Prince banged her. Because Paisley Park's, like, you know, there's an open room and stuff. I'm like, where'd he bang her? And she denied the album existed.
All right, finally, just real quick. What city do we, anyone? What city was the beer thrower from who was arrested last night? Anyone?
Oh, well, he's giving away in the other room.
That would be Everett.
Everett, yeah.
Everett's finest. 22-year-old from Everett. The drink, a 20-ounce Truly can. Not the claw, rocking the Truly, though.
What's the difference?
It's not White Claws with us anymore.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.